Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let's all pray. Our Father in heaven, as we turn now to thy precious word, we pray that we might know a continuing sense of thy presence amongst us. We thank you for thy goodness to us. We thank thee, Lord, for the promise of thy presence to be in the midst. And we pray, our loving Father, now that in these moments as we turn to thy precious word, that there will be none who will go away without Jesus. Grant to us now the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And we pray for that mysterious working of God, the Holy Spirit, in every heart. For we pray and ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. We're turning tonight in the Word of God to John's Gospel and to the chapter 6. A few verses that we want to read in this portion of God's Word. For time we're not going to read it all, but I do think it's necessary for us to get some context of the passage and an understanding of the events that are taking place. John's Gospel, chapter 6, commencing to read at the verse 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and his disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And they were filled. He said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Then down to verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping, came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Amen. And we know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his infallible word to all of our hearts. It has been a growing phenomenon in Northern Ireland in recent days, and in fact over many parts of the United Kingdom, that there has been a growing demand for what has become known as food banks. Unfortunately, because of particular circumstances and situations in people's lives, it's now necessary for people to access food in a way that they had never thought was possible before. When we come to think of food, it's something that we all have a varying degree of interest in. Some of us with a greater interest than others. And of course, one of the most stable elements of food is bread. And I'm sure that most, if not all, at some stage in this day, has partaken of bread. I was greatly struck when I just gathered together some statistics around bread. And it's claimed that it takes some 9 seconds for a combine to harvest enough wheat to make 70 loaves. It's also said that assuming a sandwich was eaten for breakfast, lunch and dinner, it would take 168 days to eat the amount of bread produced from one bushel of wheat. A family of four could live 10 years off the bread produced by 1 acre of wheat. It's estimated that to the UK economy, the bakery industry is worth £3.4 billion. And it's also believed that bread is purchased by 99% of households. Somewhere in the region of over 9 billion loaves are sold in the UK every day. And that gives you some sense of the importance of what has become known or called a stable diet. But I want us in the moments that are left to us tonight not to speak about a physical bread. But I want us to consider a bread that's referred to, and we read about it here in this tremendous portion of God's Word in John chapter 6. It's a bread from heaven. You'll notice on 5 different occasions in this chapter there's reference made to it. Verse 32. The Saviour says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. Verse 50, This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Verse 58, This is that bread which came down from heaven. And so in these verses we have reference made to a visitation. We have reference made to something that has been particularly given. And of course it's summed up in those words that the Saviour said in verse 35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And what a provision has been made. What a bountiful provision has been made in the bread that came from heaven. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who stood amongst these people on that occasion, on that particular day, and proclaimed to them, I am the bread of life. Oh, there had been a discourse in regards to the manna that had fallen in the wilderness. This had taken place at the time of the Passover, when these Jews would have been very familiar with the use of bread and where it had its place in that particular feast. But this was something that they had never heard of before. This was something that was completely different. This was something that was beyond what they had ever heard about in the past. Someone actually saying, I am the bread of life. This one who stood before them was saying that he was the one that came from heaven. And he wanted, the Lord Jesus Christ wanted his hearers to fix themselves and to fix their mind and to fix their attention and to fix every facet of their being on him. And it's our desire tonight in these closing moments, by the grace of God, that you would do the same. Oh, that you would get your eye off the preacher. You would get your concentration off everything else that might be a distraction. And for these moments, you would consider the bread of heaven, the greatest of all provision that can be made for any individual, young man, young woman, boy or girl, older man or woman in this service. The greatest provision that has been made for you tonight is the one who says, I am the bread of life. I trust that you'll pay attention, that nothing will become a distraction, and for these few moments that you will be brought to realize that only in Christ and in Christ alone can the spirit you'll need of your heart be met. There are a number of things that I want to leave with you as we consider this theme, Heaven's Bread. First of all, I think when we consider heaven's bread, it speaks of a problem. The Savior alluded to that problem when, in verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is making reference to the problem. And the problem tonight, and the greatest problem that faces mankind, is not a physical problem. Oh yes, we lament, and it's sad to see across our land, even in this blessed land of Ulster, that there are people who have physical need and they have to resort to things such as food banks to meet that need, even in our own town. But the greater need is a spiritual need of the soul. And here the Lord Jesus Christ makes reference to it, and he says, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. That's implying that there is a hunger. There's a longing. There's a need. You go back with us in the Word of God to the book of Genesis, and to the chapter 3. Do you know that in the book of Genesis and the chapter 3, we have recorded for us the entering of sin into the world. And in Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 17, just let's read these words. The Lord's speaking. He's speaking. He's spoken to the serpent. He spoke to the woman. Now in verse 17, he's going to speak to Adam. And in speaking to Adam, he says, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And then notice this. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. We see that this hunger comes about as a consequence of the curse. And there's a connection here in that in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. I don't believe it's insignificant that there's this reference made, the very first reference in the Word of God that's made to bread. And it's associated with the foe. It's associated with the sin of man. It's associated with the curse and man's fall into sin. But one day there came one who said, I am the bread of life. There was one who became, as we will see, a curse for us. So that you and I might have the need of our soul met. I don't have to tell any man or woman in this service tonight the hunger that sin brings. I don't have to tell any young person in this meeting tonight the consequences that sin brings. I don't have to tell any older man or woman in this service tonight the awful place that sin can bring you to. It doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring happiness. It can only bring misery and sorrow. It can only bring to the heartache and pain and anguish. A spiritual hunger. That's the problem. That's the problem we need to realize tonight. That's the problem we need to face up to. Oh, I know there are those and they try to avoid the issue. They try to, as it were, sideline the issue, and they fill their time with other things, with entertainment and other things, and they try to block out of their mind the real problem that's at the heart of the hunger in their soul. It's the problem of sin. But when we think of this heaven's bread, it not only speaks of a problem, but it points to a person. Because the Savior said in John chapter 6 and the verse 35, I am the bread of life. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is revealing who He really is. He wants His hearers to understand beyond a shadow of a doubt the person that stands before them. And I trust by the grace of God tonight you can see that the one that is presented in the Scriptures tonight is the I Am. What a title. What a name that is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And very soon we will be thinking about those names that was given to the Savior when He came into this world. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He is called Emmanuel, God with us. But oh, what a title here was given to these Jews that would remind them of the great I Am, the great Jehovah. And here He comes to these people and He says, I Am. That speaks of His deity. That speaks of the one who is co-eternal with the Father. That speaks of the one who is God the Son. He's no mere person in that sense. He is God the Son. Oh, but what a condescension, as we said this morning, that God's only beloved Son took into union with Himself our humanity and became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He became like unto His brethren. What condescension. His deity. And you know, His deity is seen in the miracle that He performed at the beginning of this chapter. We read together the story, the actual event that happened in the feeding of the 5,000, it's estimated that there was probably 15,000 that were there, because the record only gives to us the record of the men. 5,000. And if you were to take women and children, this was an excess probably of 15,000 people. And notice what the Savior, and we read together the narrative as is recorded here in John chapter 6, how that there was this great company, verse 5. And as the Savior saw the company coming, he saith to Philip, "When shall we buy bread?" Again, it's interesting to note that the Savior makes a reference to the need that was in the company that he saw. You see, he understands what it is that will meet every need. Dear unsaved man or woman in this service tonight, he knows the need of your heart. And he knows that that need alone can be met in himself, the one who is the bread of life, but child of God, he also knows the need that's in our hearts. And there are hearts tonight that are carrying burdens that we know nothing about. There are circumstances and situations that we face on a day and daily basis in our families and in our homes and in our community. And he knows every need. And more than that, he knows how to meet that need. And as he looks at this company, as he looks at this gathering, he says, "When shall we buy bread?" Now he knew the answer. But of course, verse 6 tells us that he said that to prove him. Then Philip gives the answer to the Savior. He said, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Then, of course, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." But then notice what he says, verse 9, "But what are they among so many?" What are they among so many? They realize their inability. They realize their inadequacy. And they say to the Savior, "What are they among so many?" But what does the Savior do? The Savior does a miraculous act. Go back over into Mark's Gospel. And we get a little bit more detail about this in Mark's Gospel chapter 6. This is the only miracle that is recorded in each of the 4 Gospels. And there's a little bit more detail given, and I think it's an important detail that's given in Mark 6 and the verse 41. People have now sat down. They're in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And then notice what the Savior does. "And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, and blessed, and break the loaves, and gave to them." Now I believe that the Savior only broke the loaves once, and then he gave, and he gave, and he gave, and he gave. And between the breaking of the loaves once and the giving, there was a mighty, miraculous intervention of the power of God. Why? Because the one who stood before them was God manifest in the flesh. And to provide salvation for you and me, the bread of life was broken. He was broken beyond any comprehension. The Word of God tells us that his face was marred more than any man. The psalmist tells us that there was a furrow that ran down his back, a furrow of blood. He was broken. But in that finished act, there is a miraculous provision in that, in the grace of God, he continues to give and to give and to give. And when he had given all, there was still plenty and enough to spare. That's his deity. But you know, we also see his ability. No one else here could meet the need. We've already made reference to that in John chapter 6, where the disciples really put up their hands and they simply say, but what are they among so many? They looked at the young boy. They looked at the provision, the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes. And they simply said, well, what's this amongst this great crowd? But the one that stood in their midst was able to meet their need. And you know, tonight as you come to this service, maybe there's someone here and you're maybe saying in your heart, but you don't know my problems. You don't know my circumstances. You don't know. And we don't, in a sense, need to know. But I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt and beyond contradiction, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the lovely Son of God, is more than able to meet your need. He's more than able. Because he has been the one who has been ordained and appointed of God to be the bread of life. He is the heavenly provision. He is the one that the Father hath sent. He's the one that the Father has given. He is the one that under the authority of God, the Father has been sent to visit his people. There are many references and we haven't time to turn to them, but just let's turn to one. There's many references in the Old Testament about God visiting his people. But just let's turn to one with reference to bread, and it's in Ruth chapter 1. And notice in Ruth chapter 1 and the verse 6 what we read. You know the story well. It's recorded here. Concerning Naomi. Concerning the deaths that had taken place. Verse 4 tells us, and they took them wives, the woman of Moab, Orpah, Ruth. They dwelled there about 10 years, and Mahlon and Chilion died, and both of them, and the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Then verse 6. Then she arose. That was Naomi with her 2 daughter-in-laws, that she might return from the country of Moab. Now listen to this. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. Isn't that a wonderful provision that even though they were in Moab, even though they were in that place where there was a famine, even though they were in that place where their needs were not being met, where now all around them, all the things that they had loved, all the things that they had cherished are now gone. They just have themselves. But in the midst of their sorrow, in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their circumstances, they heard a message. And what was the message? The message was that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And let's go down to the end of the chapter, to verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. A reference again to bread. A reference again to provision. And Bethlehem, the house of bread. And what a provision is made in the one who was born in Bethlehem. The bread of life. The one who was born in that lowly manger. The one who was brought into this sin-cursed scene of time was born the bread of heaven. To meet the needs of those. Why? Because it was noised abroad that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. And oh, tonight he visits Hebron Free Presbyterian Church in the same gracious and in the same grateful way to provide the bread of heaven. What a provision. The bread of heaven speaks of a problem. It speaks of a person. But it also reminds us of a price. You see, for bread to be made, it requires the wheat to be taken and to be crushed. The Word of God tells me in the book of Isaiah that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The word there, to bruise, is to crush. That day on Calvary, God the Father took his only beloved Son. And I cannot understand it, I cannot explain it. But the Word of God says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to crush him, that the bread of heaven would be provided for sinful, fallen man. What a provision. Oh, the price that was paid by the bread from heaven. And he did it all for you. And he did it all for me. But there's one final point that I want to make. The bread from heaven speaks of a problem. It points to a person. It reminds us of a price. But finally, it tells us of a promise. What's the promise? Well, let's turn to John chapter 6 again as we conclude, and to the verse 47. And notice what we read there. Lord Jesus Christ says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. And this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." There's the promise of all the fullness that you and I need to meet all the needs that you and I have is in the one who is the bread of heaven, the one that came down from heaven, and he has promised us eternal life. He has promised us that eternal life beyond this existence and this life in which we have. What a promise. And he gives us a promise for this life, when we're here in verse 35, the Savior said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Have we appropriated all the blessings that are ours in Christ? Do we daily feast upon the bread of heaven? They talk about bread as a stable diet. I wonder what's the stable diet of every child of God. And I include myself in this. I've been challenged this week as our congregation has met. And I believe that God has great things for this people if we obey him. And that starts with me. That starts in my heart. But I wonder what is our stable diet every day as God's people. Is it the bread of life? Is it feasting upon him? Is it feasting upon the one who has promised that when we partake of him, when we dwell upon him, when we meditate upon him, we will never thirst, we will never hunger, that spirit you'll need will be met. Maybe there's someone here, and tonight you've never tasted. Someone quoted in the prayer meeting tonight, maybe it was her brother Jonathan when he was opening in prayer, that lovely verse, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Have you ever tasted of the Lord? Have you ever reached out by faith and laid hold upon the bread of heaven and partaken of that bread to know how it can satisfy your every need? There are broken hearts in this service tonight. There are broken lives in this service tonight. But I'm glad tonight I know the one who says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Oh, that tonight you might partake of the heavenly bread. You might know the fullness of the provision that is in Him. You might leave this service tonight rejoicing in God's so great salvation.